Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, are you ready for the word today? I feel like we've had quite a few snacks and quite a few eating. In fact, there's about 4 or 5 pages I'm just going to take right out of there because Pastor Gary preached a part of it and then Pastor Claude preached a part of it. It was just wonderful. So I can get right down to some other parts. So what I want you to do is open your Bibles right now, and we're going to go. 2 weeks ago, I started this, and I talked about the fact of living in the blessing of God. We went and we were looking at, and I really didn't get there very far into this passage. So grab your Bibles or your phones, open it up to Psalms, and you're going to go over to Psalms 133. And you're just going to hold it there just for a second. You know what? Why don't we read this? Okay, so Psalm 133 says this: "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then this is what God thinks of unity. He compares unity to this. He said, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. And it is also like this," he says, "the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." We've heard that phrase many, many times, right? About the commanded blessing. And we've heard it connected to unity. But those two scriptures in the middle teach us and show us what God thinks of unity and how valuable it is. And when I think about it, I also believe that the scripture is showing us what unity as well can bring into our lives. What unity, for example, when we say this, I mean, it's so today's wording for us is like somebody, if you walked in the middle of the town and you read this part here, when we're talking about it is like the precious oil on the head of running down the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. Most people wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about, right? And if you read the next one and you said, it's like the dew of Hermon, they'd be like, who's Hermon? And why is he dewy? Right? Okay, come on now. Like this is, because this would be like, what's going on here? Descending upon the mountains of Zion. But see, if you put it into our vernacular, into our day now, we would see the first one is talking about the anointing, and it's talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. To God having the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be on assignment with the Holy Spirit is to him that sense of equalizes that of importance when you're talking about unity. So God says, unity is so important to me. And you all know, it's like he's saying this. Unity is really, really important to me. Here's how important it is. You know how important it is for the anointing, right? He then gives us the example of when I don't know if you've ever had this, but I was overseas once and I had somebody anoint me with oil overseas. Pastor Gary, have you ever been anointed? It's quite different, isn't it? It's quite different. Our anointing here is just kind of like this. It's kind of like, okay, so we're going to just dab you a little bit here with the oil and, you know, you're good to go. That is not how it works, okay? We're talking about, I began to understand what this scripture is about because there was a small bottle of oil dumped on my head, running down my face, running down my beard. And at that moment, I really can't say that I felt the Holy Spirit all that much at that particular moment because I didn't know it was coming. I just thought they were going to, you know, anoint me like we would have done with like just a little bit and woohoo. No, we're talking about drenching. Like, and it goes down in your collar, in your shirt, and you're just like, oh, but see, that's what it is to us. But if you go back in that day to be honored to be the priest, to have that moment, this was for them the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. See, to me, when I think of unity, what is one of the most it brings unity and it sustains unity when we live in the presence of God. Do you ever notice that you're a nicer person when you live in the presence of God? Yeah, there you go. You figured it out. Okay. Seriously though, that you're kinder,
Okay, some of you are looking at me like I got seven heads right now. You know you are, okay? When you are in the presence of God and when God is working in your life and when you are, in the sense, walking in his fullness, you are nicer to be around, okay? It's just the way it is. But it's not more than just nicer. It is actually the power of God working through your life. And you see, to me, that's how, again, we walk together in unity. For us, what it's so interesting today, because I'm going to go through in the last little section here of this sermon, I'm going to talk about some of the things about the past. And one of the things about the past, and it's something that we look to the past, not because we want to be like that, but we look to the past to bring honor to God for what he's done, to now know that he can do it again. Did you catch that? We don't look to the past to bring it back again. We look to the past to recognize what God has done so that we believe he will do it now for us and our children. I believe that what he's done, do you know that we've sat there at sometimes, there was a time when, and I love the fact that now we do camp in the sense that we do it on in August, the whole month of August. It's going to be great for the kids upstairs. But to be honest with you, I want both. Can I say that? I want both. I want the fact of to be upstairs in August, but in the next few years, I want to be out in our community again. I want to see that. Do you know that there was a time here when we had over almost 100 kids in this sanctuary, and we would have it, I needed so much help, it was impossible to do this without the help. And in those days, I can remember having it so that kids were going and praying for kids. That kids were looking at adults that were helping and going, can I pray for you? You know, it wasn't the adults that were sitting there going, I'm going to pray for you. Anybody have a prayer request? Let me pray. No, we were taking kids, and some kids had never been in church before. But we introduced them to a life with God and a life where they were praying. And see, those are things to me that are powerful. To see miracles begin to happen, to see these things. And I'm not talking about I wasn't up here preachy. I still had, you know, we had all our science stuff. I made things disappear. We had a great time, okay? You know, I get to be a kid every time. It's just so much fun. But here's the thing. I'm not looking back to bring that back. I'm saying, God, you did that when I had no idea how you were going to do that. What are you going to do now, Lord? And if I'm not careful, can I just look real close to me right now? If we're not careful, we can allow the loss of a past to grieve us so much we won't look for a future. We truly can look at the past and long for it so much that it becomes a grieving in us, and then we don't look for something new. It's something inside of us. When I think about the fact of when God says that unity for us, he compares it to us walking in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. Because when we get together, we have a goal. See, when I come to church today, I don't have a goal to sit in church together. I like you all. I'd like to have you around for a barbecue. I can't wait till the end of the month. We're going to the Bondi's house at the end of the month for a barbecue, and it's going to be awesome. If you remember last time, it's going to be great. I'm going to have so much fun. But here, listen to me. As much as I like you all, and as much as you have nice faces, I didn't come here to see you today. I'm glad you're here. I want to say hello to you. I want for you to feel you're welcome, but I came on assignment today. Do you understand what I'm saying in this? I had two assignments today. My first assignment when I walked into the house was, my focus is on Jesus. I am here to minister unto the Lord. And my second focus was, who's new? Who hasn't been here? How can I encourage them today? I don't always get to do the second one because sometimes I'm so preoccupied with other things. But can I encourage you, let that be your theme when you come in? Can you imagine if when we came in, can you imagine what worship would be like if when we came in, we were busting at the seams? Come on now, let's just be real in this. If we were so busting because we'd already spent a half an hour praying in the Spirit before we came in, and we were so filled, in fact, we'd already seen a few different people along the way, we'd prayed over them, we'd ministered to them, we came into the house of God, and it was just, we exploded inside all over everybody that was here because the power and presence of God was so strong within us. Can you imagine? What would that do? Would that separate us or would that pull us together? It would pull us together. Now, certainly some might go, I'm not sure I like this, but you know what? That happens all the time with, unfortunately, with this. But when I think about it, when I think about unity, we need to be functioning and strongly in the presence of God. And I don't mean by this, these notes are so good. Okay, so I don't mean the fact, listen to me when I say this, I don't mean the fact that we came in thinking we were holier than thou. Do you understand me? We came in with the fact of we didn't either come in think being allowing the enemy to beat the living daylights out of us before we got to church. Now, you want to be brave here today? Let's just see how brave we are. Did anybody walk in here beat up before you got in here from the enemy? See, we might sit there and go, you know what? I don't if I want to put my hand up and show everybody this because that makes me less than. No. Do you hear me? No. The enemy has a job, and his job is to keep us focusing on all the things that we've messed up with. Come on now, hear me. You know what our job is? Our job is to walk in the Spirit so much that we can ignore him. You might think that it's your job to battle the devil. My job is to be so filled with the Holy Spirit and so full of him and so on assignment that he is ignored by me. Now, come on now, grab a hold of that. And some of you might have a hard time sort of with that focus in there. You know, to me, spiritual warfare is ignoring the enemy. To me, spiritual warfare, yes, I speak, I believe, and I'm going to talk about it. My tongue is powerful. But I believe that God has given us, and I have been messing up. Man, some of you got wide eyes right now. I have been letting the enemy have a heyday on me, and I've started to believe some of his little crafty little lies that got an ounce of truth with a whole lot of lie. But where my eyes go is my eyes go right to the ounce of truth. And I let it be blown up as if it is 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 times bigger than it is. See, the assignment that we have here is to not walk as perfect people. The assignment is to walk as Jesus is in us, and he is going to make us perfect in him. Do you understand that? Do you understand the difference? So when I look at this, I look and I see the second part in here. Remember when I was talking about then this Herman guy, okay? By the way, that's not a guy. And he's not Dewey either, okay? But Herman is a place, it's a mountain range, and it's descending on, in fact, what's so funny when you look at this scripture, the actual mountain range is nowhere near the mountains of Zion. In fact, it's impossible in the natural for the dew from the mountain of Herman to get on the mountain of Zion. Impossible. Let me ask, we don't have any mountains here. It's really frustrating at times, okay? In that we went up to a north a little later and we don't really have mountains there, but these hills felt like mountains to me, okay? But when I say this, this mountain range is so far away from what God is saying that what he's saying is that with unity, you can accomplish the impossible. That even the dew of Hermon can fall on the mountains of Zion. See, when I think of this oil as a representation of the Holy Spirit, and so as well as the dew, but it refers to this. It refers to replenishing. Let me ask you something. Anybody need your soul to be replenished a little bit? You know what I'm saying? You just kind of need to not have to work really hard to go. You just got to go, God, I need to be in your rest. You know what worship was about today? Worship was about positioning ourselves in warfare. We had warfare this morning. You know how we had warfare? the Lord was teaching us in that moment to rest. And you say, well, I prefer the type of music that is like, we're just, and I kind of do as well. We'll go, let's just raise the roof, you know. But in those moments, he was saying to us, you need my rest. Here is, if you'd say, the dew. Has anybody ever done this when you're camping? Anybody ever fell out of a trailer? You're all like, I love that face. It's like, what are you talking about? Hey, listen, I went camping as a kid with my parents, and my middle brother was we had, you know, those ones that pull out, the sides pull out, and they tuck underneath, right? And so we were camping there, and he was sleeping with me, and I was, you know, 4 years older than him, and so, you know, I didn't really want him all that close to me, you know, all those things. And I'm sure that somewhere along the way that I kicked him off to the side. Well, the last thing I think maybe mom and dad saw, or whoever it would be, Paul was sort of snuggled against the side, right? Well, we woke up, or I don't know how exactly it went, but Paul was missing. Paul was gone. Paul had the dew of Tojo's campground all over him because, you know, he still sleeps no matter what. But the point was this, is that, you know, if you've ever fell asleep on the ground and the dew comes, it covers over you. Let me ask you something. Did you do anything but just lie there? You just lied there. See, it's a sense of for us that we've got to get back to a place that our warfare is about our peace in him and our rest in him. You know, those are the things to me that if you have a people that are rested, let me ask you this, they're resting in the presence of God. And maybe you're a little bit like me, and I'm not very proud of this, but when all of a sudden, if, you know, I'm better than I ever used to be, okay, way better than I ever used to be, but I used to be an extremely glass half full person. In fact, I was probably more of a glass quarter full person. Okay. And what that means is simply this, that if I could figure out, like, again, I've said this times to you, and I can remember driving down the road with my car and hearing, and it's not supposed to beatbox, you know, the car isn't supposed to do that, but it was making noises. And I would have that car by the time I got like to the next even off ramp, I would already have that car at the junkyard trying to figure out how I was going to get a new car, how I was going to pay for it. And all it was a little adjustment that was needed. Do you hear me? That's what it's like to live when you live in a half full glass mentality. Is that when anything begins to happen, we begin to panic. And yet when I am fully, now again, it doesn't mean that, listen to me, hear me clearly. There are things that happen in our lives that are difficult. I understand that. But when I am full of the presence of God and I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm not expecting Sunday morning to be my measure. That was pretty good, Pastor Rod. That was an awesome thing to say. Do you understand what I meant by that? That Sunday morning isn't my measure. I don't get the majority of my time in the presence of God on Sunday morning. I don't. Because if I did, I would be in deep trouble. This is the culmination of a week spent with God. Time is flying here. I'm going to be really, really blunt and bold with you right now. And I'm going to go through these three things that I have for unity. Maybe you're not doing this, and maybe you're not used to a pastor saying this, okay? So some of you might have to strap in your seatbelt. Pastor Gary just got nervous. So just kidding. My devotions have been tough lately. It's like a wall. So much so that I did it from the sense of just doing devotions. And when that stays too long, your habit isn't going to hold you. Now hear me that. And what happens is that your habit falls off. And before you know it, you're functioning without the word. I'm saying to you this only because of this. We can't function without the word of God. We can't function without the presence of God. But if you're struggling right now with your devotional life, you're struggling, here's what I had to do. And this is hard. I had to ask the question, what am I running from? Now, I'm going to really be blunt and bold with you this morning in this. I went through a series of asking God this, what am I running from? Because this feels like I'm running from you. Because the truth is, now is this the truth? He is right here all the time, available to me. There's no block whatsoever between me and him. And you say, yeah, but you did this. Yeah, but you did that. Man alive. If I had to earn the ability to approach him in his presence, how many of you would be like me? You'd be in some serious deep trouble. Come on now, right? But here's what I began to do. Say, Lord, what am I running from? What am I afraid of? And he began to reveal something to me that I was upset about. In fact, that I was angry about. I used other words. They weren't maybe as nice. I really was angry. And then all of a sudden, this anger started stirring up inside of me, sitting with the Bible in my hand. And I'm like, God, what am I going to do with this? What do I do with this? Lord, I don't understand what to do with this. And he said, give it to me. And I went, and I heard these words come out of my mouth. I'm not sure that works. What did I, who said that? Couldn't have been me. And he goes, Rod, your trust to me has taken such a hit over the last little while that you're trying to earn your way back. And he said, you can't earn it. You have to own it. And that may bother some of you, but he told me I have to own it. I have to own the fact that for me, and I'm not owning the fact that these difficult things happened. And everybody has different portions in this room, so do not misunderstand me in this. But for me, I had to own the fact that I had believed these things and I'd allow my trust of him to slip. And I'd also allowed a bunch of other things that I don't want to get into. You see, feel the awkward in the room right now? You feel that tension a little bit? See, truth does that to us all, right? But I want you to understand this, that I am on a journey to live in the beauty of the Word of God again. I expected to wake up the next morning. Man, my notes are so good. They're right here. They're just wonderful. I should preach them sometimes. I woke up the next morning expecting, it's going to be awesome. Best devotional prayer time ever. And it was the same. And I went, what's going on? And he's like, trust me. I got you. Trust me. I got you. Stop performing to be with me. Trust me. I've got you. Trust me. You're okay. Trust me. I've got you. Trust me. You're okay. And in those moments, when I owned it and I said, Lord, I have stopped trusting and believing for a better future. I owned it. And then this beautiful thing for me, it's called repentance. It's the most beautiful gift that God ever gave me. Do you know that repentance is not about punishment? Repentance is about removing the boulder between you that you've allowed to come between you and God. It's not about, I'm going to punish you because of what you did. It's about, this is the pathway closer to me. And so when I began to repent, and it wasn't here, you know that I repented of things that were not my fault? I repented of those things because I recognized that I'd gotten worn out and I'd allow myself to get worn out and I'd allow myself to get beat up. And I didn't go for help. I didn't ask for help. You know the shame and guilt that comes with that? Okay, you guys need to at least, I am so nervous right now with all this because this is not normally the way I like to preach. But shame and guilt tries to keep us back. You might say, Pastor Rod, stop doing his devotions. No, I probably read the Bible more than some of you that were in here. I'm talking about being in love with the Word. I'm talking about when you get up in the morning and you begin your day with, it gonna be a good day today. And the Word of God, even if there's a dry season, it just comes to life and it feeds me. You can have that and you can have that back again. Do you want it? If you've been going through this, what I want you to do is close your eyes right now. Someday I'll preach this wonderful sermon that I had. But I believe that in order for us to walk in unity, we have to be there with each other and for each other, yes. But we have to walk in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to walk in His Word. And so here's what I want you to do right now, if you're comfortable, is just quietly between you and Him. If He shows you something that you need to repent of, and that might be, Lord, I stopped trusting You, Jesus. I stopped trusting You, Lord. I didn't want to, I didn't mean to, but I just stopped trusting You. And you just stop for a minute and you own it and you say, Lord, I own the fact that I stopped trusting You. I own the fact that I've let anger control me. I own the fact that I've let disappointment control me and choose my future. I own the fact that I've allowed somebody else to decide my future instead of You. And for this, Lord, I repent. Forgive me, God. And so now, Lord, as I have received Your forgiveness, I now will walk away from the shame and the guilt and the lies that like to be produced because that's all the enemy really has. I walk away from all those lies. And because of Your beautiful gift of repentance, I walk closer to You now. I walk closer to You, Lord. And I declare in Jesus' name that things are about to change. And they're about to shift. And even if, Lord, I have to go through every other day and do this with something else and own something only for the purpose that I can give it to You, then, Lord, so be it. Because I want to walk with You in the fullness and in the power of Your strength. And everyone who's in agreement said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.